Welcome to Left Out with Adam Grimm and Logan Davis, a weekly show where we discuss all things sports, from the controversial to lighthearted topics around the country. Now let's go to the host. This is Left Out.
What's up, sports fans? It's Logan Davis.
And I'm Adam Grimm, recording from my girlfriend Lauren's basement.
It's November 28th, and welcome to Episode 2. Make sure to follow us or subscribe on Spotify, Apple, Anchor, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts from. And follow us on Instagram and Twitter as well, at Left Out Official.
Today, we got some NFL playoff predictions. Lots of big news in the NFL as well today. A big week of college football and the start of the college basketball season. Let's get this week started.
Let the game begin.
It's time to get this week started with the tip-off.
This week for the tip-off, we're going to go into things that we're thankful for in sports, obviously with Thanksgiving being this week. Logan, I'll let you get started with your number three thing you're thankful for in sports.
Awesome. All right, so the third thing I'm thankful for in sports is the NBA restart coming up in December 22nd. I'm a huge NBA fanatic, and I'm so excited for the NBA to already be starting again after it's finished in the summer. So
my number three thing was throwback jerseys. I always think that jerseys were so much more fun back in like the 80s and 90s era. They were so much more colorful and fun. And I love whenever we get to bring them back and see those colors that we don't normally get to see. Everything feels really plain nowadays. And I love whenever we bring those back.
Yeah, for sure. My number two, more current. I just think in a global pandemic environment that we are even having sports right now. Obviously, the NFL and NBA and are encountering some COVID difficulties, but they're pressing on and they're making sure that fans are getting to enjoy the sports they love to watch. So I'm thankful that sports exist right now.
My number two thing was the walk-on scholarship videos that we get whenever they get announced that they're going to be a scholarship member now. Walk-ons are just playing to play whenever they're in sports. They're not getting any sort of money for it. And whenever you see someone really work hard and perform well in practice and whenever they do get game time, I think it's really cool whenever we get to see the emotion of those moments. Whenever they get announced that they get their scholarship, I think that's something that's really cool.
Yeah, for sure. I love all those videos. It's just so like heartwarming and just awesome. Okay, so number one is the savior of Dallas Mavericks franchise, Luka Doncic. I'm thankful that we drafted him 2 years ago on my birthday, to be exact. So
did you really draft him? No, okay, you traded. Right.
We traded for him, but I mean, in my eyes, we actually drafted him. So, but yes, glad that we traded for Luka. So very thankful for you, Luka.
My number one thing is the savior of Missouri Tigers football, Eli Drinkwitz, head coach. I was just watching the game today, and I know it's against a weak opponent in Vanderbilt, but just the different motions and formations that he comes up with on offense, the way that he adjusts to different teams coming into the season, his recruiting plan, I love it all. Missouri football is going to be back soon, baby, and I can't wait for it.
Yeah, we might have to wait a couple more years. I don't know if they're there yet.
Hey, we're going for 7-3 this season. I wouldn't say it's out of the question. Just got to upset Georgia, and we're there, I think. All right, let's get into the sports news then.
Big news, sports fans.
Let's talk about the sports news from around the country.
Yeah, I know I'm not exactly the jockey type, but I watched Hoosiers last night, and I like sports now.
Here are the biggest stories in sports.
All right, starting it off with the big news in the NFL this week. Steelers-Ravens originally scheduled for Thursday night, then pushed to Sunday. And now it has been pushed all the way back to Tuesday, and it's looking more and more unlikely that even that will happen. Six more Ravens were placed on the COVID list today. I don't know if this one's going to happen, unfortunately. Great game, it would be.
Yeah, no, it would be a great game to watch. Obviously, being postponed twice already is not a good sign. And for the Ravens, at least, having Lamar Jackson out, one of the players with COVID, obviously they would prefer not to play this game this week without their star quarterback. But my fantasy team would greatly appreciate having the Steelers play because I have some Steelers players.
Although also James Conner has been placed on the COVID list, I believe. So he would not be playing if that were the case.
Okay, even worse. I mean, maybe they just need to cancel the game because I have James Conner on my team.
What are your thoughts on Tuesday Night Football? Football, I love it. But I know that team hates it. The teams hate it just because it throws a wrench in their schedule, less time to prepare, stuff like that.
And I think also for the teams involved, the Steelers especially, they already got their bye week canceled due to their canceling of another game. And so they really wanted to play on Thanksgiving because that's just a tradition. The Steelers always play on Thanksgiving. So I know they're pretty livid. And then, as you said, like Tuesday kind of interrupts their practice throughout the week for their next opponent. So it kind of shakes off their planning for the next week. So, but I love free football. So
always love it as a fan. Derek Carr on Sunday Night Football against the Chiefs. They came up with some interesting audible names. They used words such as Purple Walrus, James Harden, Chris Mullen, and Mom in Georgia as their audibles at the line.
Did you say Purple Walrus?
I did say Purple Walrus. Actually, Derek Carr also said it.
All right. I mean, way to spice it up. I mean, catch the defense off guard. I mean, if I was a D lineman and I heard Purple Walrus, I'd be like, what the heck is going on right now?
James, I think Harden, I remember back to the Purple Walrus play. That one actually worked out pretty well, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, kudos to Derek Carr just trying to use everything he has to help the Raiders offense. I think the Mom in Georgia one is probably the oddest one for sure. But hey, if it gets the defense unsettled, then go for it.
I just remember going back to a few years back whenever Peyton Manning just yelled Omaha and it became like sort of a pop culture icon. And now we're all the way to Purple Walrus and Mom in Georgia. Also this week in the NFL, Hall of Fame semifinalists were announced. This includes first-time names Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, Calvin Johnson, and Jared Allen. I have Peyton and Charles Woodson as the first ballot locks in this class. And I think the other two will get in eventually, but I don't know if when they will get in, just because obviously with Calvin Johnson, he didn't have the longevity that you want, and Jared Allen, I just don't think he's in that upper echelon of players that deserve it.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with Peyton Manning and Charles Woodson being for sure locks. I would love Calvin Johnson to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, but like you said, longevity is the issue. But, I mean, he's probably top three most dominant receivers, even if he didn't have a very long career.
I believe he's the best of all time. Well, not best, most talented, I would say. It's a shame that Detroit had to waste his career, but, you know, it is what it is in Detroit. It's a shame.
Yeah, we're rooting for you, Megatron.
Moving on to NBA. Jason Tatum, De'Aaron Fox, Brandon Ingram, Donovan Mitchell, and Bam Adebayo all signed the 5-year Supermax extensions this week. Big week for them, big payday.
Yeah, wow. For all 5 years, I think it's like 5-year, $195 million for at least three of the five. I don't know about, I think there's another deal, it's like $165 million.
I thought it was
like
all five.
All five of them? Okay. I remember reading something different for one of them. But anyway, yeah, congratulations to all of those guys. Obviously, they're franchise cornerstones. And the biggest player I'm happy for is Bam Adebayo. He really upped his game this year, and I'm glad that the Heat are solidifying him as their franchise cornerstone. So,
something really cool that I thought about his contract was every other player had an option on the fifth year, but Bam Adebayo agreed to just sign straight through all 5 years. He had said that if Miami was willing to commit the Supermax deal to him, then he was going to commit all 5 years to them. So I think that that's super cool that he did that to be with Miami, even though he could have had the player option, it sounded like.
Yeah, and it just shows like how much of a team player Bam Adebayo is. He just wants to win, and Miami's a perfect place for him. So good guy overall, so can't wait to see him succeed.
Yeah, new jerseys also being released all around the league. It's that time of year again. Which one are your favorites of the bunch that have been released so far?
Yeah, so I love San Antonio's new jerseys. It's kind of a throwback to their warm-ups they wore in the 90s. I really love the colors, and I'm obsessed with their warm-up jackets. So hopefully you get the whole warm-up suit, too, when they wear them. But a fan can only dream. My other one is the Jazz. I just love Utah's color schemes. I love their like sunset colors. And this year they did more black with kind of orange. And like a bunch of other colors, I really like that. And then lastly, I love the Dallas Mavericks throwback hardwood jersey, the green. We just looked so good in them, and I wish we could wear them more often. But I'm excited to see Luka and the rest of the gang suit up in those.
Yeah, I agree with the San Antonio one. I really like that one. It's nice to see them go on from just the traditional camo that they had before. Always, whenever they did alternate jerseys, it's nice to see this little throwback, and I love that color scheme. I also really love Charlotte. I think that they nailed both their alternate uniforms, the Buzz City ones, and just their redesign with the white pinstripes. I think that those look really good. Can't wait to see LaMelo Ball in that jersey. And I think Memphis also did a great job with theirs. They have a really cool color scheme with it, sort of like the reverse of the Vancouver, where it's like black with the teal sort of as the accent color and also the red and gold on it as well. I think that that looks really good.
Yeah.
Some of the ones that I dislike, I actually did not like the Utah one. Utah has had one of the city jerseys, it feels like, and then they said they were going to come out with a new one this year, and it was just felt like the opposite of the old one. It didn't feel like anything special. I also didn't like Boston's. It just looks like it's a practice squad jersey, and I know it's like supposed to represent what it shows in the banner, but it just does not work on a jersey. And I also hated Golden State's. It says Oakland across the chest. They play in San Francisco. Their main logo is the Golden Gate Bridge, which is associated with San Francisco. They're not the Oakland Warriors. They need to move on from that identity. It just does not make sense at all to me.
Oh, come on, man. True to their roots. So the ones I disliked, I agree with Boston. It just looks absolutely stupid. Practice squad. Another one I was not a fan of was Sacramento. It says Sacktown, which I just not a fan of.
Gotta love Sacktown.
Yeah, I don't like the name, and I'm just not really a big fan of Sacramento's colors, to be honest. And then lastly, mine is Portland Trailblazers. They have this ugly Oregon. It's like the first time they acknowledge that Oregon is like the state they play in or whatever. Ugly brown with kind of like mountain red, white, or red, yellow, and blue. Just not a fan. For Portland. And if I had to give a bonus one, then I would probably say I didn't really like the Atlanta Hawks.
If I had to give a bonus one, I give the Oklahoma City Thunder. I thought that that was just ugly, way too busy. But
yeah,
those are some interesting ones, some really good ones that I love, but also some really bad ones. Also this week, we had college basketball starting. And included in that, the first big upset of the season, San Francisco, the school of Bill Russell, upset number 4 Virginia 61-60. Virginia is actually still the defending national champion, technically, since there was no tournament played last year.
True. I love it. It's college basketball. Anything can happen. Top 4 seeds can go, or top 4 ranking can go down anytime. So love to see that. Obviously, big win for San Francisco. But if Virginia wants to defend their title, they got to get back on the right track.
I think they also have a 35-year-old head coach, which is pretty incredible that he's coaching his team to a win over the number 4 team, one of the best defensive schemes in the country at that age.
Absolutely.
Also in college basketball, on Twitter, Notre Dame head coach Mike Bray reached out to teams to try and get them to play. He said, quote, "This is not a drill. Notre Dame basketball looking for an opponent on December 4th or 5th, and we will travel safely, of course. Reach out and let's hoop." Sounds like a club basketball team just trying to find anyone that they can to play. Because
seriously, well,
schedule
yeah,
ran out of teams.
Yeah, seriously, they're just kind of, it's like putting a wanted poster, basically, kind of thing. That's awesome. I mean, if they want to hoop, Hoopers got to hoop, you know. So kudos to the coach.
I mean, that's a great matchup, though. Notre Dame, they're always a decent team. That would be a good matchup for anyone who does take them up on that offer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it will be hard for them to also plan for the opponent for Notre Dame because December 4th is coming up real quick. So,
yeah. All right, let's move on to the main event, get talking about some NFL playoff predictions.
It's showtime! And now, the main attraction.
This is what you've been waiting for. Our biggest discussion of the week.
Cool.
It's time for the main event.
All right, so we're going to go through which teams we think are going to make the playoffs, as well as a playoff bracket, breaking down all the way who we think is going to win the Super Bowl. We'll get started with your wild card teams in the AFC.
All right, so the three teams I have in wild card for the AFC, I got the Baltimore Ravens, the Colts, and then I got the Browns. I have the Browns making the playoffs. I think they're going to do it. Ravens, of course, I think that there's a great team. I think they have to figure out some stuff on the offensive side. The Colts have a great defense that's helped, and Phillip Rivers is playing good enough football to allow them to win. And I would just love to see the town or city of Cleveland make the playoffs. So
I went not quite the same. I got the Titans, Ravens, and Raiders making it as wild cards. I think that those teams are just going to be end up being good enough, and they have the more favorable schedules than some of the teams like the Dolphins and the Browns going forward. I'm not convinced by the Browns. They have had some ugly, ugly games, and I don't know if they can continue to win the way that they have. Who are your division winners in the AFC?
I got the Chiefs, Steelers, the Bills, and the Titans.
I agree with everything there, except I have the Colts winning out over the Titans. I also have the Chiefs getting the top seed. I think that somewhere along the line, the Steelers will drop a couple games. And I only see the Chiefs dropping either to the Bucs or the Saints left. And so from that, that would give the Chiefs the tiebreaker, and it would give them the coveted number one seed this year so that they can get that extra bye, which is huge.
Yeah, I also put Kansas City as number one, that they're in at the bye. I think the Steelers will lose, and they'll win the tiebreaker. So,
who are your NFC wildcard teams?
Okay, NFC wildcards, I got Seattle Seahawks, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Arizona Cardinals. I think Russell Wilson is great, but I don't think he's going to be able to win his division. Tom Brady's obviously going to make the playoffs. I don't doubt them. And I want Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins to be the last spot in. So
I got a similar thing, except instead of the Seahawks, I have the Rams. So Rams, Bucks, and Cardinals. I think that the Saints have too big of a lead on their division. I think the Seahawks get the Rams at home and are able to win it the second time around. And I really would love to see Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins in the playoffs as well. Who are your division winners?
Okay, so my division winners, number one is the Saints. I feel like they're going to win out. And then I have the Rams, Packers, and the Washington football team. I do not want my boys to make it. I already said it last week, my final thoughts, but we need to tank for some better players. So I'm rooting for Washington. So yeah, come on, Washington, make me proud.
I got the Saints as the one seed as well, getting that first round bye once again. And then Packers is the second seed, winning the AFC North. I believe in Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. And I think the Giants are going to surprise a few people coming down the stretch here. And I think they finish at 6-10 and somehow make the playoffs with that terrible record.
Which is just so embarrassing for my Cowboys. Oh, man.
All right. Let's talk about your AFC wildcard games that you got.
Okay, so I have I have the Titans playing the Ravens. I have the Titans winning out. I have the Steelers playing the Browns. I have the Steelers winning out. And then I have the Bills play the Colts, and I have the Bills win out.
I have the Colts and Titans playing each other for the third time this season, and I think for the third time, the Colts get the better of the Titans. I think the defense is too good. I have the Bills and Ravens matching up. I think the Ravens probably push the Bills into a few too many mistakes and come away with a win there. And I have the Raiders and Steelers, and I think the Raiders or the Steelers defense is just too much for the Raiders, and they advance on.
I was about to say, if you're about to say Raiders, I was like, man, okay, Adam, go you, man.
Not that bold. NFC wild card round.
Yeah, so NFC, I got the Rams winning out versus the Rams Cardinals. I had Rams winning, and then I had Packers Bucks, and I think the Bucks are going to pull out the stops against the Packers and stop Aaron Rodgers like they did earlier this season. And for 4-5, I have Seattle obviously beating the Washington football team because the NFC East is the worst division. So
my 4-5, I have Rams Giants, and it's where the Giants surprises run out and the Rams win there. Seahawks Bucks. Seahawks just don't have enough on defense to keep up with the Bucks, so I have them winning. And the Cardinals and Packers, I think that the Cardinals' defense is not enough to contain Aaron Rodgers, so he is able to get the Packers into the divisional round. Now back to the AFC bracket. We got the divisional round next.
Okay, so the divisional round, I got Titans at Chiefs. I have the Chiefs obviously destroying them. You never count Patrick Mahomes out. So, and then I have Steelers-Bills, and I think the Steelers are going to meet the Chiefs in the AFC Championship.
I have Chiefs-Colts, and I think that come this time of year, Patrick Mahomes, as we saw last year, can just go to another level, and no one can compete with that. So I have them going to the AFC Championship game, and the Steelers will beat the Ravens for the third time this year, another team winning three times over another. And I think that that gets them into the AFC Championship game for a date with the Chiefs. And back to the NFC.
Okay, so NFC, I have the Saints playing Seattle, and I think the Saints take down Russell Wilson with their defense. And then I have Rams-Bucks, and you know what? I'm not going to count out the six-time Super Bowl champion Tom Brady, so I think the Bucks advance to the NFC Championship for Saints-Bucks.
I have Saints Rams, and this pains me a little bit, but I think that the Rams come playoff time with Sean McVay are able to find a way through the Saints defense and make it to the NFC Championship game, unfortunately. And another pick that pains me, I have a rematch of the Bucs and Packers, and we all saw how that went last time. I think that the Buccaneers can get Rodgers frustrated again and also move on to the NFC Championship game.
Oh my gosh. Oh, dude. Gosh, I don't even know you anymore.
Man, it's painful. It's painful.
I don't even know you anymore.
I got to pick against your heart sometimes, you know?
I guess.
Okay, AFC Championship game, who you got?
I'm going to choose Kansas City. I think the defending champs are going to throttle the Steelers. But the Steelers will obviously have a great season, but I think the Chiefs are the better team. And once, as you said before, Patrick Mahomes is just built different with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and like Mecole Hardman and them. He's just so many weapons. So
I think it'll be similar to the Super Bowl last year where you see this incredible defense built up against Mahomes, but it just doesn't matter because of how great he is. And they're able to find a way past the Steelers. And then Rams and Bucks. I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm picking the Rams to once again
dude, just stop.
The Super Bowl. I don't know how I came to this point, but I think that they, as much as it pains me to say it, they look like a really good football team who is built for that kind of a matchup. And especially in the playoffs, once it's colder, that defense, they can rely on them. I think that it works out.
That's unbelievable. I stand by it. I don't know you anymore, man. NFC side, I have Saints Bucks, and I think the Buccaneers defense has really impressed me. So I think they take down the Saints and they advance to the Super Bowl. So it's Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes, which, believe it or not, is also
the game of the week.
Yeah, this week. So we'll see a preview of that.
So who's winning the Super Bowl for you?
As much as I would love Tom Brady to win his seventh, I think Patrick Mahomes is just, he's literally a generational talent. And I think the Chiefs are like on just a different brainwave of like just being a team. And I think that Tom Brady's obviously getting older, and I feel like he won't perform as well. He's kind of been shaky this season, to be honest. So I think the Chiefs defense takes advantage of that. But Patrick Mahomes will definitely have a challenge with the Buccaneers defense. But I think Patty brings back championship number two.
Yeah, I think that this is a rematch from the Monday Night Football game a few years ago that had like 105 total points or something.
Right.
I think Patrick Mahomes gets the better of them this time. The Rams offense is not the same that it was. I'm just not sure of what holes the Chiefs have this year. I think that they're able to get past him, get Patty a second consecutive Super Bowl, validate that big contract they gave him in the offseason.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, it's time to get into some more NFL stories from this week.
Hello, you play to win the game.
These are the headlines from around the league and association.
It's a make or miss league, baby.
So obviously the big story from last weekend in the NFL, rookie Joe Burrow, rookie of the year candidate, has a terrible knee injury, torn ACL, MCL, and there's structural damage in that. Really hoping that he gets to recover from this as quickly as possible, get back out on the field and regain his confidence.
Absolutely. And yeah, prayers go out to Joe Burrow. It was a very dirty hit in my opinion, but he was getting hit all game before that. So I think it's a failure on part of the Bengals organization, their offensive line, just trying to protect the quarterback. And it pains me to see that it's not only just a torn ACL, but other structural damage and MCL. So I can only wish him the best recovery. But the Bengals got to look at their organization and say, well, he's our guy. We got to protect him a lot better. So
yeah, and I mean, I think it just shows what kind of person he is. Obviously, his Ohio State teammates on the Washington football team, Chase Young, Dwayne Haskins, and Terry McLaurin, they all were up with him trying to say, oh, we feel bad for you. We hope you get back from this. You could see that on the sideline. And also our friend Aaron, who's a Steelers fan, obviously rivals of the Bengals. He even says, like, that's just terrible. And I want to see him back on the field because everybody just seems to love him around the league, especially.
Yeah, lovable guy. So we can only wish him the best.
And I mean, I think the biggest thing for him will be getting confidence back, taking that first hit and realizing that he can recover from this and get back to the same quarterback that he was before. That always seems to be the biggest issue whenever it comes to big knee injuries like that.
Absolutely.
Getting over the mindset of having the knee brace on.
Yeah, and I saw something too where Deshaun Watson offered to help him with his recovery, because Deshaun Watson a couple years back tore his ACL. So, and he's
he's
back.
Tore his twice actually.
Or tore,
he did it once at Clemson.
Yeah, so second ACL tear. Then he's come back and played phenomenal. So hopefully, I know Joe will probably take on that help, and so he'll come back better than ever. So
hope so. We had lots of breaking news today as well in the NFL. Lions first firing head coach Matt Patricia and general manager Bob Quinn. So what happens whenever you try and mimic the Patriots? It hasn't worked for a single team so far who has tried it. The only one who's even had remote success with it is the Titans, but even then, they have still not had quite the success that the Patriots have. It always just seems to fail for teams.
Yeah, no, thank goodness. Lions fans, you should be happy. Matt Patricia was just horrendous and wasted a lot of years for Matt Stafford especially. So it'll be interesting to see who they bring in, and then their GM. Yeah, I'm glad he's out. They made some questionable drafts in the previous years. I mean, Jeff Okuda was a good pick, but they've had a lot of guys they've drafted that haven't panned out. So hopefully the new coach comes in and can figure out what their running back situation is going to be, and see if they can reignite their offense and their defense, which is basically all ex-Patriots players. So
also, their defense was supposed to get better under Matt Patricia, obviously being the defensive coordinator at the Patriots. But I saw a stat today. When he took over, they were middle of the road, 16th best defense in the NFL. Today, they are the 30th best defense in the NFL this season. So,
30th?
Really bad results there. 30th.
Yeah. Sorry, Matt. Maybe you should stay, be a defensive coordinator for the Patriots again.
Also, San Francisco 49ers being put into limbo after a county order saying they cannot play contact sports in the county for the next 3 weeks. They're working with the NFL to try and get this issue resolved, but who knows what's going to happen with that.
Well, if they – so if the county allows them, they don't play for 3 weeks, and so do they just – will they just forfeit their games? I mean, if the 49ers aren't going to make the playoffs –
I have no idea.
They're not going to make the playoffs, so – I mean, they're obviously going to fight to play the games, but at the end of the day, if you're the general manager and you're thinking, okay, like if we have to just forfeit these three games, this is pretty much a lost season. We've had way too many injuries, and we get a better pick. So got to kind of think to look at it from that side.
Look at it from the glass half full side of things.
That's right, glass half full.
All three of the Broncos quarterbacks are out this week because of contact tracing as well. So they will be starting a wide receiver from their practice squad who was a backup quarterback at Wake Forest for multiple seasons. Tough break for them.
Tough break for Drew Locke
as well. He has not been able to stay on the field throughout his career.
Absolutely. And the Saints are going to have a field day with our lovely practice squad wide receiver at the quarterback helm. Might be a Ben DiNucci 2.0, as we saw a couple weeks ago with my Cowboys.
Probably worse than that.
Yeah, maybe probably worse, but that stinks. And Drew Locke especially. When he's playing and he's on fire, he's really fun to watch. I just hope he can stay on the field more than he has.
Yeah, it's been an unfortunate start. Let's predict the games for this week now, starting out with Raiders-Falcons.
Once again, I put the Raiders. I believe in John Gruden and Derek Carr, and I hope to hear some more play calls. I want to hear Purple Walrus or James Harden. I don't know, the mother in Georgia or something like that.
Mom in Georgia.
Sorry. Hopefully hear more of that. Get the Falcons a little unsettled.
I am done picking the Falcons. It does not work out if you pick the Falcons. So last week will be the last time this season that I pick them. Even though they will probably win more games, I refuse to pick them. I'm going Raiders. Chargers-Bills.
Bills. Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs will thrive. But I think Justin Herbert's going to put up a fight. But the Chargers have choked every lead they've had this season. So I feel like that trend's going to continue.
I have the Chargers in the upset of the week for me. Justin Herbert has a big field day with that Bills secondary, and I think that he plays really well, has a big game for them. Giants-Bengals.
I put the Giants. I think Daniel Jones and the New York offense has really picked it up. And I think without Joe Burrow, the Bengals kind of lost their guy that they have confidence in, and it'll be interesting to see how their backup operates, but especially with Joe Mixon out, I believe, as well. I think he's still in the IR, so.
Yeah, without Joe Burrow, I'm going Giants as well. Titans-Colts.
I put the Colts as their defense. Just so dominant, and they've proven it week by week.
I think we saw what the Colts can do to the Titans last time, and now that they get the game at home, I think they win this one again, so I have the Colts as well. Panthers-Vikings.
This is my upset of the week. I put the Panthers. I mean, the Vikings have a worse record, but they've kind of been rolling recently. But I think the Panthers are going to slow down Dalvin Cook, and Kirk Cousins is going to throw at least two interceptions.
I went with the Vikings. I like the matchup at home for them. Hopefully they can avenge for their loss to the Cowboys, unfortunately, last week.
Woo!
Cardinals-Patriots.
Cardinals. The Patriots are just – Cam Newton's not great. Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins are on a whole other level, and Chase Edmonds has been good. And while Kenyon Drake has been in and out, so
I also like the Cardinals. Too much offense there for the Patriots. Defense hasn't looked the same. Offense just isn't that great with Cam Newton. I think that the Cardinals have enough on defense to slow them down. Dolphins, Jets.
Dolphins. I think Fitzpatrick is starting this game. I think Tua is hurt, I believe, was what I read.
He's doubtful right now, I believe.
Doubtful. Okay, so Fitzpatrick's in the helm of the offense. The Jets are 0-10, so. Yeah, the worst team in the league. It's pretty much a guaranteed. So
I went with the Dolphins in the lock just because their defense against the Jets offense is a complete mismatch, and I don't see it really happening any other way. Browns, Jaguars.
Browns. I think Myles Garrett's gonna have a field day with the Jaguars backup QB. And I just think you never really hear anything about the Jaguars, honestly, after Gardner Minshew went down. So I feel like they're not a very watched team, and they're not really that fun to watch anyway. So
yeah, the Browns just out-talent the Jaguars in this one. I don't think that the Jaguars really have the juice to keep up with most teams in the NFL at this point, so I have the Browns as well. Saints-Broncos?
Saints. With all four quarterbacks out for Denver, it's not going to be good. And the Saints will have a field day, and Taysom Hill will let's see if he plays as good as he did last week. So
I thought about the Broncos before all four quarterbacks were out, but there's just no way that they can do that. I have the Saints winning as well. Bears, Packers.
And the Saints, that was my lock as well. Sorry, I forgot to say that earlier. Bears, Packers. Aaron Rodgers, just has a great year so far. And Devontae Adams will play well. Bears having Mitchell Trubisky, always butcher his last name, is starting this week. And I think he's going to play terrible, and they're going to bench him again. So
I think that this is more interesting than a lot of people think. I still go Packers, but I think it's an ugly game. Very low scoring, very close as well. Seahawks, Eagles.
Seahawks. Russell Wilson's just going to coach the Eagles. Carson Wentz is playing horrendously bad. They're starting to get some of their receivers back, but they just have way too many injuries, and the Eagles really need to consider is Carson Wentz the quarterback for the rest of his career. So
I also have the Seahawks. Carson Wentz will even struggle with the Seahawks defense, it seems like, at this point. Something has happened to him. I'm not sure what it is, but he just cannot hang on to the football anymore, and it's really unfortunate because before his ACL injury, he was such a good quarterback. And I mean, even the couple years after it, he was still playing well. But something has happened this year, and he is not the same quarterback that he was. Ravens, Steelers, if it happens.
If it happens, I think the Steelers are going to get a very close win like last time.
I think that the Steelers get lucky. Probably will be RG3 a quarterback. Man, there's no way that the Ravens are able to win that, so I have the Steelers. If
you know, maybe RG3 has a throwback game, and we see some Washington football team RG3, and he gets the win.
Maybe we do. And the game of the week, the Chiefs and the Bucks. Who you got?
All right, Super Bowl preview? Yeah, seriously, as I said earlier, it's my Super Bowl preview. I'm going to say the Buccaneers this week. It's a bold move, even though I said the Chiefs were going to win the Super Bowl. I think the Bucs defense is going to get in Mahomes' head, and I think when the Chiefs lose this game, they'll just get a wake-up call, and then when they meet again in the Super Bowl, the Chiefs will slaughter Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. So
I went Chiefs this week. I think that Chris Jones is able to get enough pressure on Brady to disrupt him. Obviously, as it's been talked about, that's what gets Brady off of his game this year, and so I believe that will be the deciding factor in this matchup this week. All right, we had a big week in college football. Let's talk about it now.
Now, maybe it's just me, but College was very confusing times.
It's the College Rundown, where we break down all the important stories in college football and basketball from this week.
All right, so starting off with one of the bigger stories of the week, obviously, Sarah Fuller of Vanderbilt kicks off on the second half, becoming the first woman to play in a Power 5 football game. There were a lot of Twitter warriors out there criticizing her because they said it wasn't a very good kick. Obviously, they do not understand very much strategy in football, but I will let you talk on this for right now.
That's the Twitter warriors. I mean, when I first saw it, it was a squib, and I thought it was questionable. But I think it's awesome. Good for her. Hopefully she stays on for the team and she gets maybe try some field goal action. But I think it's a huge step for women to play in football as any position or kicker as well. So, but yeah.
Yeah, I think former Colts punter Pat McAfee summed it up perfectly with one of his posts on Instagram. He said, first of all, how often do we get to see something that has never happened before anymore in this world? It's just so rare. So we should cherish that moment. And also talking about the kickoff, he was talking about there's three goals whenever you have a kickoff. First goal is to make sure that they don't score a touchdown. Check. Missouri did not score a touchdown on that play. Second goal is to limit them from advancing the ball as far as they can. They did not get to advance the ball at all because of how she placed it. Third goal, keep the ball in bounds. Do not give them any unnecessary yardage. She did that. So she did her job. She did what they asked her to, I'm guessing. And it was fine. It was a really cool moment. Glad to see that for women. Glad to see that for equality in football as well. All right, so now we will talk about the Big Ten in a little bit of shambles at this point. Some very, very weird stuff happening this week as well once again. I just don't know what is going on there. They got Michigan at 2-4, who lost to Penn State this week, who is now 1-5 with their only win being over Michigan. Nebraska's 1-4, who's supposed to be a powerhouse football program. Michigan State is now 2-4 after they beat who was supposed to be one of the good teams in Northwestern that might end up winning the championship now that Ohio State's ability to even play in the game is in question since they've had so many games canceled. Maybe Indiana wins the Big Ten championship.
Oh my gosh, what? No.
I'm not going to hear the end of that one, but I just, Big Ten is something else right now. Flipped upside down, it seems like.
Yeah, and it just kind of, it's crazy to me because they're a Big Five, or they're Power Five conference, but these coaches and the virus is just affecting these teams so much differently than the SEC. These teams are all terrible. Ohio State's the only solidified great team.
And they may not even get to the championship game.
Exactly. There might be a cancellation, so they're going to be ineligible. But, I mean, that's just crazy. The Big Ten is in shambles. And if you're a Big Ten football fan, if you're an Indiana fan, you're probably, like, rejoicing right now. That's probably the best season y'all have had. If you're Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State, you are hating life right now. You might as well just not watch it anymore. Penn State's 1-5. You had Saquon Barkley at one point. You have no one. I don't know, man.
It doesn't make sense to me. I did not see this coming. I don't know how it's happening, but somehow we are here at this moment in the Big Ten. I don't get it, but I mean, most of those programs are not programs that I enjoy the most, so I'm not complaining about it. I'm just wondering how we got to this situation with them. All right, it's time to wrap this week up now.
It's been a blast, but it's almost time to go. We wrap up this week with the home stretch.
So building off of last week where we did our three most memorable moments from our sporting fandom, this week we're going to go to our three most heartbreaking moments in sports. What do you got, Logan?
Mine's a little recent, number three. I think it's Dak's leg injury for me, honestly. I love Dak. I love the Cowboys, obviously, but just seeing him go down and I saw the way his leg turned, just, he just felt so bad. He's having a career.
Maybe it's a cramp, right?
Yeah, maybe it's a cramp. but gosh, you just hate to see any guy get injured like that. But
especially
we just,
in a contract year.
Absolutely. And he decided to test on himself and not try to get a long-term deal signed. So it really
hurt. I hope the Cowboys still take care of him.
Absolutely. I do as well.
My number three moment was back from 2013, Missouri's run to the SEC championship game. There was one blemish in their regular season schedule, and that came against South Carolina, where there was a few big plays that happened that game. First of all, they bring in their backup quarterback, Connor Shaw, at halftime to play against us. And then he just starts to go on a roll. And then in overtime, they have a fourth and goal from the 15-yard line. He throws it up a Hail Mary, and somehow South Carolina receiver comes down with it. And then in the second overtime, South Carolina kicks a field goal. Missouri gets into very close field goal range, a 20-something yard field goal, and it bangs right off of the field goal post. And that happened to be their only blemish that year in the regular season. Also wish they would have sold out for the run against Auburn in the SEC championship game. Maybe they could have been playing for a national title that year, but we will never know because they did not do that.
Yeah, no, that's heartbreaking for sure. My number two is back-to-back years that the Texas Rangers made the World Series in 2010, 2011, and we lost both of them. And ever since then, we've been a laughingstock in the MLB. It just pains me to see it. Those 2 years, I was just hoping for a championship, especially after the Mavs won in 2011. I'd love to have the Rangers win again, have two teams with championships in Dallas. However, St. Louis Cardinals crushed those dreams, and as well the Giants. So it was,
sorry about that one.
Yeah, it hurts. And Rangers were a laughing stock. So if we could get better again, I'll talk about you more in this podcast. But for now, that's the only mention you're getting.
Sorry about that, Nelson Cruz. My number two moment was Missouri as a number two seed in the 2011-2012 NCAA tournament. I don't remember the exact year, but they were number two seed. They were the first 30-win team to not be a number one seed. And thus, as the number two seed, they lose to number 15 seed Norfolk State. It happened on my birthday. It was quite the sad day for me.
Oh, man.
Tough loss for that. That was such a great senior class, but could not put it together there and were bounced whenever they had Final Four hopes. So that was wonderful.
Okay, so my number one, this one hits home for all Cowboys fans. This is the 2014 NFC Divisional game, Cowboys versus Green Bay Packers. And it's
Did he catch it?
Infamous Dez Bryant. Yes, he caught it. He obviously caught it. If you watch the freaking clip, he caught the ball.
Since then,
what is a catch? They've defined that. And now they made it way better. There's still some problems with it. But if I could repeat any moment in sports history, it would be Dez caught it. Because yeah, we would have a Super Bowl.
That would be a catch. I don't know about a Super Bowl, but maybe you would have made at least an NFC championship game appearance in the last quarter century.
And I'll say this. Okay, first of all, Adam, you can shut it. Secondly, Dez Bryant was not the same player after that play. He got demoralized. He's on the Ravens now. Good for him, but
53-man roster.
We were never the same. Nothing was the same, in the words of Drake.
My number one is something that I don't think that you can compare to. It is the St. Louis Rams departing and now becoming the Los Angeles Rams. Losing your sports franchise is really heartbreaking to see him go like that. I will never let it go. No matter how much people tell me I should, they should not have left like people claim they should have. I will always be heartbroken by them leaving.
Yeah, for someone who hates that they left, you sure chose them to make it to the Super Bowl. So
just because they left doesn't mean I can't think they're a good team.
That's fair. Good point.
All right, time for our bold predictions of the week.
General Kenobi, you are a bold one.
What you got for us?
Yeah, so bold predictions. These are from my Texas A&M Aggies. We're winning 13-0 right now. I think Texas A&M is going to make it into the top college football playoffs. They're meeting the number four team. I think that A&M looks really good right now, and I think if either Clemson or Notre Dame lose, then I think A&M will enter the...
I got one for you. I think the Broncos are going to sign me at quarterback. I think I'm going to come in and be the emergency quarterback this week.
Get out, dude.
I think I'd make a great, great backup quarterback for them. I can read all the coverages. I can help out the starter. I'm putting my name out there, Broncos. If you want me, I'm available. So please come and sign me.
If the Denver Broncos sign you, I will shave my head. That's how bold that is right there.
So what are your final thoughts for the week?
Yeah, mine's not really about sports. Mine's more about Thanksgiving. With being a couple days ago, I didn't get to be with my family for this Thanksgiving, but I just wanted to say how thankful I am for just all my friends and family, and Adam especially, for doing this podcast. You know, it's been a great time. We're enjoying making these episodes for y'all. But yeah, I'm just thankful for everyone in my life. So,
well, now you make mine look bad. I guess I should say that I am also very thankful for my family always supporting me and everything that I want to do, always being there, having my back for whatever it is that I try and do. Thankful for Logan for hosting this show with me. And of course, I have to say thankful for my girlfriend Lauren for being amazing and always supporting me as well. My final thought of the week has to go back to the big news in college football this week. Don't be mad at a girl because she gets to live out your dream of playing for a Power 5 football team. Just because you didn't make it doesn't mean that you have to drag her down. She did a fine job today. She did her job. And it's something that you never will be able to say that you did because you weren't good enough to become a Power 5 football player.
And that's Take that, Twitter warriors. That's for all you Twitter warriors out there.
I'm reading you guys in the comments. I see you out there.
And with that is the end of episode 2.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.